karavavahai tejasvinavadhitamastma vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we are on the chapter 12. And then what did we do last? How should we utilize our position? Or service to the devotees.
Service to the devotees.
Okay, so how should we utilize our position? In the Parma Purana, there is a statement that one should perform the ceremonies for the Lord according to one's financial position. Everyone should observe the different ceremonies and celebrations of the Lord by all means.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Does that include all the temple programs? Because there's a lot of parties and sometimes it's difficult to attend all of them.
See, part of the sarana is what we have. So the morning program, then the evening arati. But what here it's like beyond it. It's extra. Like the observe the different ceremonies and celebrations of the Lord by all means. So then when there is a festival, the Janmashtami. So the normal daily services are not done or minimized, and it's more focused on some extra activities. For some may chant more, somebody may be preparing for the Abhishek, somebody may be preparing the decoration, somebody is cooking for the Lord. So then whatever one's position is, based on what is the his qualification? If somebody knows how to cook properly, then he just cooks for the Lord, right? Singers sing, even though he may be doing other services at other time. Somebody who has a lot of Lakshmi, then that person may sponsor all the activities or some of the activities. So according to one's means, position, so based on that, then everybody is engaged.
So it's not considered neglect of our sadness that we cut down on some of the things that we would normally do something.
We have to find out. So what we do? See, if we are cooking, right? It's fasting that day. So you don't have to be in the kitchen. You can go and cook something for the Lord for the evening. Or you can cook for the Lord his lunch, because he's not fasting. But for the devotees, yes, they are. Or you can cook for the pilgrims who are coming, and they are not following necessarily fast, so for them, pressure distribution is also more at the time. So you can still do the service, but you are not doing it because, for the devotees are cooking. So you may cook for somebody else, or you may just opt doing something else for the Lord. But it should be something which is thought out. It should not be like whimsical, oh, so I have nothing to do today, so I'm just going to sleep the whole day. No, that will not be the ideal way to approach it. And also it is based on the Vaishnav etiquette, so at that time it's a good opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas, do something extra. So the principles also, Dharati Prati Grihnati, Guhimati Pichati Funte Bhujate, so that time can be utilized very well. So we want to offer some gifts even to the devotees, so we may offer the gifts to Krishna and then give prasad to the devotees. It's a very auspicious time for reciprocating with the devotees, reciprocating with the Lord, because it's a festive atmosphere. So it's like out of the ordinary. What vrata is best to be observed? One of the most important of these ceremonial functions is called Urja Vrata. Urja Vrata is observed in the month of Kartik, called Damodar month, especially in Vrindavan. It is said that just as Lord Damodar is very dear to his devotees, so the month known as Damodar or Kartik is also very dear to them. In the Parma Purana, it is said, the Lord may offer liberation or material happiness to a devotee, but after some devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura during the month of Kartik, the devotees want only to attain pure devotional service unto the Lord. Also, performing devotional service in the Dham is very powerful. And performing service in the Dham during Kartik month, it's even more powerful. So we should not again misunderstand it as some ritual which we should just get into, and then just because we perform some ritual, so then everything is okay. We have to consider why is this. So the Damodar month, the Kartik month, it's very dear to Krishna. So therefore, if we try to perform some activities to please Krishna at the time, then he is going to be very pleased. So these that, if we perform service during that time, then we will be liberated, and we will gain this much of benefit. It's all secondary. The primary for us should be that we want to please the Lord, and then knowing how to please the Lord and when to please the Lord, it's for us very important. So if the Acharya says that to please the Lord during Kartik month, it's very good because Lord likes the time. So offering our services during the time, it's even more powerful because we can please the Lord more proper way, better way. So then that's what the pleasure should be. The devotee should be pleased that he got the opportunity to serve the Lord during that time. And all these benefits which the acharas are talking about, they naturally come. But it should not be the goal, it should not be the aim that we are doing it for that. It's the same thing, like always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So our aim is to always remember. And then once we remember constantly the Lord, then naturally we will never forget Him. But as long as we are focusing on never forget Krishna, so then the aspect of always remembering, it's not there. But it's a progress. You see, it's definitely for our inspiration, because it's something which we can relate to because of our conditioning. So we can take it and use it as a means, kind of like just to move forward. Like a person, he may break a leg and he may be using crutches, right? So he uses the crutches as a means of to move forward. But once the leg is healed, and he's not going to hold on the crutches and then, those helped me when I was sick, so I have to keep them, and I have to always wear them around because they were great companion to me. You see, then we don't need the crutches anymore once we can walk on our own. So we are unable to remember and we always forget the Lord, so then we can use the conditioned nature to not to forget the Lord. So okay, so then let's offer the results of our activities which we do due to our conditioned nature to the Lord. It's good, but we should not think that this is it. Then once we are, we start to wonder, okay, so what's there? What's better than that? Then better than that is to get the Lord, do the activity, everything for Him, the way He wants it. So if we can do that, then yes, we are remembering the Lord. And we don't need to think about it, but I have to offer the result. There's no need to think about that because the activity is already offered. So the result naturally is the Lord. We don't need to think about it not to forget Him. So we get spontaneously engaged in the service. So we don't have to be bothered about, did I forget something? Did I forget to offer it? Or no. We are already absorbed offering the activity. Because we have the higher goal. The higher goal is to please Krishna. So because of that, then we are naturally not even thinking about I'm pleasing here myself, but I know that that's not the best, so I still have to offer it because I want to be pleased, it's for me, but at the same time I understand that I should not enjoy it without the Lord's sanction. That's just a intellectual platform we are thinking about it. So based on that, we can now decide, yes, I should not forget. And then, so we offer the result. But once we are doing it, not knowing kind of like what pleases the Lord, then that naturally comes. We don't have to think about it twice.
To your example of pleasing the Lord, sometimes in Kartik month, for example, special occasion to Kalashi day, you do something that you think, oh, this will please Krishna. And then when you feel pleased, then you feel, oh, let me, and then that inspires you to go on, even if it's a small action, to do it more and more. And that makes us go forward in the sense of just pleasing Krishna, you know. Even if in the beginning there's so much, you know, if I do this in Kartik, I'm liberated, as you're saying. But the exchange sometimes is very interesting to push you.
Well, yes, yeah. But see, we have to be also very careful what's actually the thing which pleases Krishna and what it is that it's just a concoction of our own mind. Now, sometimes devotees, they think that, okay, let's take deities for Harinam. So, that's good. But then, okay, how do we take them? So then, now you can carry this on the head and you jump with the deities, you jump, they jump. And then you think how wonderful it is. But maybe it is not. And then, when you hear that some senior devotees tell you don't do it, it's not that's not the best. And then you think no, I'm sure I'm pleasing the deity. So it's a concoction of his mind. Yeah, it's not really necessarily pleasing the deities. But we may think so, but based on what? Not guru, not sadhu, and definitely not shastra. Now if somebody is on fully transcendental platform as talking with the deities, and then relating to the deities in certain bhav, and that's something completely different. But then we, because we are not a platform, we may misunderstand and we may offend such devotees. Like Vamsidhar Babaji. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he did not allow his disciples to go to him because he had very special rasa with Gornitai. But it's not because he was wrong or he was doing something wrong. No, it was his rasa and he was fully absorbed in it. But the disciples being not on that platform wouldn't understand. So then they would just commit offenses. And how can you do this? How can you do that? So we have to take advice of senior devotees, of those who can understand the situation and help us to understand the situation. Or like there was the Pundarik Vidyanidhi story. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to visit him with Gadadhar Das, and then Gadadhar, when he saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi sitting on a golden throne being fanned by the maidservants, it's very opulent, and the whole house, everything was so big, so huge. So he thought, how how does Zamindar, you know, the rich Zamindar, can be considered as a, you know, like very dear devotee of the Lord? So he was thinking, this is not, he's not a devotee, he's just some, you know, rich snob, right? But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could understand his mind, and then so he just read one verse from Bhagavatam, 10th canto. And as soon as Puntarek Vidyanidhi heard that, he fell into ecstasy. And he was rolling on the ground, and you know, it was so, you know, he was having all the ecstatic symptoms. And then Karada understand, he understood, you know, just how offensive he was. It was an offense, he is a true devotee. So that has to be understood. We have to not take advice. We have to not judge things according to our mind, because we can only judge things according to our mind. No, judge things based on how elevated we are. That's why Srila Prabhupada didn't recommend that, you know, we get too close to Vrijavasis. Not that they are wrong, not that they do wrong things, but we see that they do wrong things. We may criticize them. And if we criticize, you know, the Vrijavasis, the Dhamvasis, then we get, you know, we fall down. We get the reaction for that.
Yesterday there was an accident on the road. You know, where it was a lady and a rich another lady was helping her. But her cry for Krishna, the surrender to Krishna Nishinagar, was so acute that we were just like saying, my God, what kind of surrender is this? Where is it coming from? But the way she just said, oh Krishna, it was something so deep. We just prayed for the person, we didn't even know who it was, Krishna, because her surrender was so. Then we said, see, if you see this other person some other day, if you just say, oh, this person, look, me and my family, we realize that we have been mentioning it, we don't know who they are.
See, every living being have the potential to surrender to the Lord. Now, if the realization comes, if the understanding comes, that's the question. The potential is there. Like the lady with the wood. No. She drops the wood, and because of that, no, she invokes actually Krishna. She gets his darshan. So powerful, no, her lamenting was. People in distress can surrender. But if there is no gyan and the distress is removed, then the foolishness again pops up. So the potential is there. If it's being utilized properly, that's another thing.
Sometimes seem a little indifferent towards rituals or RSCs or procedures and how to react upon these situations. Obviously, the best thing maybe is to not react at all. But it's difficult. Sometimes they may be very elevated, other times they may be just doing it like mechanically.
See, when you have somebody, you see somebody doing some activity, you respect him for that activity, you anyway get the benefit.
Hmm.
somebody is not a sannyasi and he may be wearing clothes of a sannyasi, you offer obeisances to that person, you get the benefit of offering obeisances to the sannyasi. Not him, you. So, now, devotees who are on a platform which, when they do things spontaneously, they don't have problem with rituals. Sometimes they may forget, sometimes they may do something else instead because they know that this is more important. But they would never say, oh, these rituals are not important. Those devotees are always very, very much advanced, and they wouldn't reject because they know it comes from Krishna anyway. So for somebody on that platform, those rituals are the way how they get elevated. So they would never reject rituals. But they know the conclusion of that the rituals are not the goal. So then if they see somebody who is capable of understanding, they may explain things seemingly differently. And Srila Prabhupada, he comes here from the spiritual world and he does things the way he wants his disciples to do. So he is an acharya. He preaches, he teaches by example. He doesn't have to do all these things. But he does it just to teach us. Krishna and Balaram, they didn't have to go to Gurukul. But they know that if they don't show example, then who would follow and why? So they show that even they go to Gurukul. And so then, that way then we can follow the examples of the great devotees. Now you see, people, they like to very much follow the pop stars, some actors, what they wear, they need to wear. It's a natural propensity, it's a conditioning. But if we use the conditioning in Krishna's service, then we actually benefit.
Prabhu, how do we attain this stage of not judging others? What's the suggestion?
On everybody, as we discussed before, everybody can see some good qualities and bad qualities. So, if you start to be pulled to the idea that he's doing something wrong, and it is not your business, you are not the person who has a relationship with him to correct him or do anything. So, you look at the good qualities of the person, think about those, appreciate those. But the qualities which you don't appreciate, then you don't associate for those qualities with the person, because this is not what you want to do. This is not how you understand how it is. You may approach the person, if the relationship is there, and ask him, why are you doing it this way? Not challenging way. You want to know. You are curious. Maybe there is something which you don't know how to do. And you may discover something you know, some new aspect. But it should not be, no, challenging. It should not be kind of like, hey, what are you doing? This is bogus. Then immediately you create a barrier, and then, no. Even if he has something to teach you, he will not. But that's when there is a relationship. If there is no relationship, what can you do? You let somebody know who has the relationship to correct the person or to find out what the person is actually doing, and then let them deal with the situation. And sometimes the devotees who are actually elevated, and they may do things differently than anybody else. But if you ask those devotees that, why are you doing this? Or can you please do it differently? Because it affects others. They have no problem. Mm-hmm. Those are not the ones who will say, I just keep quiet. I know what's best, and then, no, you don't bother me. You want... Either he will say, no problem, yeah, I can do it, no, he will. Or then, yeah, if I'm disturbing, no, then I'll just move somewhere else, I'll do it somewhere else. For them, not to show something or to, disturb that way or to, make some, disturbances like that, no, that's not their goal. They are very humble. They are very meek. They know what's the position of other living entities, and that's not their goal. So then, those devotees, if somebody would approach them, they would see it as Krishna's arrangement, and then they definitely would do something. Either explain their activities or to adjust something so that it doesn't disturb. Because that's not their goal. So you have to judge according to situation.
So if I direct my judging to the situation rather than to the person and associate with the good quality of the person, that's very
good. Yeah. You just don't make it like a personal matter. Just because I have to go for Mangalarati and then he is not going. So then I have to it's so cold and then so then I have to make sure he also does, because that way I feel unjust. So that makes it personal, and then more personal than make so many mistakes. What is the purpose of observing festivals celebrating Lord's activities? In the Bhavisha Purana it is said, My Lord Krishna, please let us know the date when your mother Devaki Devi gave birth to you. If you kindly inform us about this, then we shall observe a great celebration on this date. O Killer of Keshi, we are souls 100% surrender unto your lotus feet, and we wish only to please you with our ceremonies. So that's understanding, and that's the mind of a pure devotee. Now, anything which that pure devotee does, it's for the pleasure of the Lord. So whatever information they get, whatever opportunity they get, they always turn it into the service to the Lord. So they offer their services through their activities to the Lord. They don't have any other considerations.
I just quickly read in chapter 11 because then you have finished. And there is one devotee says, my Lord, just like a domesticated animal as a master, and now he doesn't need to take care of his situation. He says that he's in that situation and then he doesn't think of maintaining himself. And then inside, I think there's a comment saying that the devotee should really worry about maintaining his family. I don't know if you expressed that, but even though I don't worry, I endeavor, right?
You see, you do what is your duty. So as a grihastha, your duty is to maintain the family, and then you do what's necessary to be done. And then if you do your duty properly, then Krishna definitely gives you intelligence, he gives you understanding, and he gives you the facility to do that. May not be too much, but it will be enough. So as long as we are not desiring something extraordinary, so then we will be taken care of properly. Like Prabhupada's father, he spent in his shop a couple of hours a day. It was enough for his maintenance, and he didn't want to have more. He didn't have desire to make more money. He could have spent the whole day in the shop, make more money, and then fulfill more of his desires. But he didn't, because he didn't have any other desire than to please Krishna. So then, to him, more important was to spend time, with the family, doing activities of Vaishnavas. So that was enough for him. So that was his understanding. But he must be satisfied with what he gets. That's a Brahmanic rule. Quality. But he still have enough that every day he invites some sadhus for prasad. So that's the right activities, this is the right understanding. Not to hoard, and think if more I have, then more I can enjoy. You may work like a donkey. You may make a lot of money, but it does not mean that you will be able to enjoy them. You lose them, somebody will cheat you over it, or you spend them for something useless. Or you get something and something breaks, so you will not be able to enjoy it anyway. So if you actually surrender to the Lord, then Krishna will arrange things the way they should be arranged. And then we can dedicate ourselves more to our duties. Like a Tukaram, he wasn't taking great care apparently of his family, but he was so dedicated to the Lord, he was constantly singing for the Lord, that he was liberated, and then Krishna took him to Vaikuntha, and with him the wife also went. Even though she, no, very obviously didn't appreciate his activities. She was always against it, she was always lamenting, she was saying that he's useless. But he was so absorbed, he never actually, no, took it as an offense. There is a verse, I think it's in Parma Purana also, that a devotee who dedicated his life to the service of Lord Vishnu, so he is not in debt to anybody, to his forefathers, to the munis, to his teachers, not to anybody. He is, no, absorbed in the service. So whatever the others did for him, that he could have achieved it. So he is not obliged. So he doesn't have to perform shraddhas for his parents, grandparents. Well, he offers Mahaprasad, but the Shraddha is a ceremony which means that you have to feed them and every year you have to do it, and it's a very elaborate ceremony and it's a smarta ceremony. It's not a Vaishnava ceremony. He's not obliged to do that. Because the forefathers, naturally, when he becomes a devotee and he is surrendered to the Lord, they get the benefit too. Seven generations. So there is no fear about it. There is no need to worry about this. Rather, now when we see that somebody now can become a devotee, we should encourage. Because associating now with the person who becomes a devotee purifies us. Not trying to pull him down because I cannot do it, so then he also cannot do it. That's not right. Yeah.
So a devotee will try to serve everybody, mostly anyway. But it will be on Vaishnava terms. Did you say that? And not on others' terms?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, no. Okay. Somebody may say, well, why don't you do some proper activities like build hospitals or work something and feed the people? I mean, it's good, food for life, but we just don't feed the people. We give them prasad. So then they get satisfied, you know, that they eat, the stomach is full, but at the same time they eat prasad. Then building schools, okay, so then, yeah, you build schools, but you are not just going to, you know, build a school or teach them, you know, just what anybody else may. You take the opportunity and you teach them about Krishna. In Vrindavan, Rupa Raghunath, he has the food for life, and then he's building so many facilities. He digs wells for the Brijvasis because they need water. But, and the people are in need, and then he offers. There are many devotees who give him the donations for all his activities. And that's very popular because they know that they are serving the Vaishnava. So this is the Vaishnava Seva.
England just opened two Guru schools in London and Leicester.
So that's important. To teach them about Krishna. The hospitals, no. Also, you can not have, like in Chopati, they have a hospital. And there's Prabhupada playing the whole day, no. So, and then the patients, they get prasad. So then, no, they recover not only physically, but also spiritually. That's hospital. But just building a hospital just for the sake of, no, to say, yes, I have built that many hospitals, that's pointless. That's not our goal. And in fact, no, the greatest gift to the people, no, which can be given, it's the holy name. So ultimately, the Harinam, no, is the best remedy for the suffering of the people. But it may not be immediately seen. It may not be understood. It may not be immediate, the effect of it. So that's why people may not say, well, why do you just not, you just chant the Hare Krishna and you think that you are helping anybody? They are ignorant. They don't know. But the doctor also is not asking you, no, do you want the green pill, or do you want the red pill, or do you want the white one? He knows what's your problem. And then if you are not really into asking, he's not going to discuss with you, no, what's really the problem, what the cause, and how he cures it, and this, that. If you want to know, then he will tell you. But if you don't want to know, okay, just take this pill and it will be okay. So that's, no. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is the ultimate pill, no, for the whole humanity. But we don't expect everybody knowing it.
I just heard yesterday that scientists have actually realized now that meditation and chanting, it stops the aging process and it changes your genes. Something that scientists were saying that can't happen. Genes can't be changed. And so they're stumbling on it now, but it's just so funny that we've been doing it for thousands of years and they're just denying it, and then suddenly, chanting is good, you know, it's like, duh.
And they see also the opposite of it, anxiety, no, doing everything in a rush, no, how people cannot properly focus on their activities, and they are constantly in anxiety, what's next, and it just makes the people much elder, makes them, no, really, really fast, destroys them.
If you see Radhanath Maharaj, he's 60 years now, he looks like someone in Denmark who's 40, you know, because they're eating meat and they're stressed out and they're smoking and drinking. And it's insane.
So they will tell you, well, no, that's what I want, no, this is.
Yeah, this is
okay, so, no.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do it, have it. But that's not what I want. I want something else. What should be one's mood while serving the Lord? It is said in the Adi Purana, a person who is constantly engaged in chanting the holy name and who feels transcendental pleasure, being engaged in devotional service, is certainly awarded the facilities of devotional service and is never given just mukti. So, here, no, who is engaged in chanting of the holy name and doesn't get just mukti, he gets, because mukti means, Brahma Buddha platform. means you may be detached from the materialistic activities. But if there is no attachment for something higher, then this is where you get stuck. But if you have the holy name with you, then the attraction for the Lord will be through the holy name. So then achieving the Brahmavuta platform, it's just a stepping stone to go farther. And that's due to the devotional service. Why is recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among the devotees important? Srimad Bhagavatam is the desire tree of Vedic wisdom. Veda itself means the aggregate of knowledge. And whatever knowledge is required for human society is perfectly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedic writings, including sociology, politics, medicine, and military art. All these and other branches of knowledge are perfectly described in the Vedas. So, as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned, that is also perfectly described there, and Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of this desire-fulfilling tree of the Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that in order to relish the real taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should take instructions from the self-realized person, Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is relishable even by the liberated person. Shukadev Goswami admitted that although he was liberated from within the very womb of his mother, it was only after relishing Srimad Bhagavatam that he became a great devotee. Thus, one who is desirous of advancing in Krishna consciousness should relish the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam through the discussions of authorized devotees. Yeah?
Does this mean that Sukadev Goswami was on the Brahmavuta platform when he was born?
He was. But he was Mayavadi actually.
Yeah, exactly.
Mayavadi. Brahmavadi.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So he was liberated, and that's he knew how much suffering is it. That's why he doesn't want to come out of the womb.
Yeah.
So just stay 16 years inside. No?
Yeah.
Everything is being provided for. Why not? But then when he saw, when he heard Bhagavatam, then he actually understood how much more there is to do, there is to perform devotional service. So then he came out, and then he was searching for Bhagavatam. And here, Prabhupada very clearly says that everything, the different branches of knowledge are in the Vedic writings, including sociology, politics, medicine, and military art. And that's not all. All are there. Everything is found in Bhagavatam. And they are perfectly described in the Vedas. Perfectly described means that you will find solution, you'll find everything, how to interpret it, how to use it for the human society. So perfectly described means that not only just what it is, but how to use it. An example, how it's being used. That means that you yourself can realize it, how to properly utilize it. And again he says that, so as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned, that is also perfectly described there. So not only material knowledge, but spiritual as well. So that's the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. But it can be described there, and we still may not see. But this is our problem, not Krishna's, not anybody else's. And then some devotees may take different aspects of Bhagavatam. Some may not more focus on what is described in the Bhagavatam in terms of, say, the material knowledge. Some may more focus on the spiritual knowledge. But nonetheless, Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit, and everything in Bhagavatam is connected to the Lord. So whatever you take, whichever page you open, you have to see the connection now with the Lord. If you disconnect something in Bhagavatam from the Lord, then you are not understanding the principle. Because in Bhagavatam, every verse is about Krishna. Every verse has the meaning, has the proper place in Bhagavatam, what is being there in that form.
Prabhupada mentioned the story of Sudama wanting to marry Tulsi. It was not very conducive to spiritual life. Because this marriage is sad. So my question is, this book is not the end of Bhagavatam, just another point of the
chapter.
I don't know. Then we told the story of the Sudan, and he said, Prabhupada said this story about the conditions. So I was wondering, is that because...
There are scriptures which are, say, not authorized. I don't know. Like, say, Bhagavatam is authorized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas. Srila Prabhupada, he gives commentaries for the Bhagavatam, he gives commentary for Bhagavad Gita. So it is very important to understand. He stressed specifically certain books, and then he commented and he made purports for certain books, because through those books it is the easiest to understand who we are, and then that we can take up devotional service. Other books, they may be there and they are important, but they do the same thing, but from different angle. So for somebody it may be easier to understand who they are through some book which say philosophy is explained very elaborately. Like say Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes some book, and then one book he wrote just for the intellectuals. And it's there, it's in the introduction. This is only for the intellectuals. So everything explains intellectually. Because he knows that it's too difficult for the common people. So he's not aiming it for them. But those jnanis, then they will relish the book, and they will get into the depth of analyzing the philosophy, and they will realize Krishna through that. So they will very much like that book. But for simple people, then he just write another book, and they will relish that one. But the goal is that the jnanis realize, and the simple people also realize who they are, and then how to perform service unto the Lord. Now Srila Prabhupada, now he writes the book such a way so then now anybody can relish it. A person who is not very intellectually advanced, he sees it's a simple writing, and then he will relish the book immensely. Its story, it's just how nicely it's worded, and he will understand, he will realize how he can engage in the service similar way. Now somebody who is more intellectual, in the same book, in the same writing, he will find different points, very deep points. That's genius. Now then some, now because of that, some may say that Prabhupada doesn't write too elaborately, or that the philosophy is not very explained, just the basic. That's because they don't see. Those who see don't speak like this. So Prabhupada is genius because he can do it. And if we accept it, so then we may see not just the simple writing in the beginning, but as we read it and we apply the instructions from what we see, then the depth of our understanding will also grow, and then we will see the various deep points in the book as we progress. That's master. That's not just expert, it's master. And then, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends, that in order to relish the real taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, then one should take the instructions from the self-realized person, Bhagavatam. So, and Srimad Bhagavatam is relishable even by the liberated persons. So, that's the whole point, that there is always something more to know, there is always something more to realize. In the materialistic knowledge, then there may be, we learn something, we become expert, and it's not that we cannot learn something more, but that's enough for us. Okay, I know enough. Now I can go and make money out of it. And that's enough for me. So that's what we set the goal. But a self-realized person, then he doesn't think like that. He realizes who he is, but that's not enough. Then what he is supposed to do? And what he is doing? Is it the best he is doing? Is there something to improve? Is there something how to please Krishna better way? Is there some way how to please devotees better than that? What service can we perform for the devotees? There is always something to improve. But that can only happen if the person is eager to do that. As long as he says, okay, now that's it, I don't need anymore, I feel satisfied, then the drive will not be there. So then, the person will not look for any further advancement. The person will not look for how to improve himself more, because there is no need. But the devotee should always have the need to further advance, to apply himself more. That's the power of devotional service. And then by applying more, then we realize more. And then we may be meditating on some points from Bhagavatam which we heard somewhere from the lecture and we didn't know what it understand. But many times happens that as we do service, suddenly we just get understanding. Oh, that's what it means. That's exactly the meaning of performing devotional service. As you do, you become purified, your understanding becomes deeper, and then you understand the points which you previously may not understood.
Often it seems like the most advanced devotees are also those who are reading and chanting the most, and it keeps on like that. Or what you might call regular devotees, they don't do it so much, and then they don't develop so much taste for it, and then they keep not doing it so much.
Those, the most advanced devotees, you see that. Yeah, they do read, do chant, but no more than they apply. So you see, especially no relationships with them. Now, in the terms of how they deal with the devotees, how they apply what they read. Then you understand who one is.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare.